Shall we just pray for Dan as he brings the word this morning? Yeah, that's not going to work.
I'm sure, but I'm not that sure.
I already tried that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Dan. We thank you for the word that you have given to him for us today. We pray for ourselves, Lord, that you would open our hearts to receive that word and that you would bear a fruit of righteousness in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Do you want a different one?
I do.
Can I borrow this?
That one goes
anywhere. Oh, okay.
Brilliant. Oh, that's better. Thank you. Okay, so we're on to our second rhythm on the discipleship pathway. Hopefully we'll all remember that we spent quite a bit of time thinking about Sabbath and the rhythm of being recreated. And now we're into this second rhythm in our discipleship pathway. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about celebration. Celebration is a rhythm that we should be practicing if we're to be growing as disciples. So let me start with a question, a couple of questions. What was the last thing that you celebrated? Who were you with? And how natural was it to rejoice and celebrate? Are you thinking hard? Oh, am I going to be able to get the technology to work? Let's see. Yes, there we go. Here are the questions. And on the right, you will see Neil Tunnicliffe, who is dressed up as, oh, I've forgotten his name, the guy with the ostrich and he wanders around. I don't think it is Rod Hull. It's someone else. Bernie Clifton. That's the one, Bernie Clifton. Some of you are too young to remember. But Bernie Clifton was this guy who dressed up as a kind of an ostrich and used to go around like this. And this is Neil looking slightly suspicious, it has to be said, but dressed as Bernie Clifton at a celebration a little while ago. I wanted a better picture to really humiliate him, but you can't quite see the ostrich. So when was the last time that you were celebrating? Let me tell you a story. A man told the audience about a dream he once had. He dies, and as he enters heaven, he sees Jesus waving him over to join him at a small round table. He feels welcomed and accepted, and as he sits down in this intimate setting with the Lord for tea and conversation, Jesus asks him, "I've got a question for you." All of a sudden, the man panics. "Here it comes," he thinks. "I'm about to be grilled on how many people I've brought to Christ. Or what about that time 20 years ago when nobody was looking and I did that thing? Or I'll have to account for all my lies and failures. And I know that I didn't pray enough, I didn't serve enough, I didn't love enough." And at that moment, Jesus leans forward and intently listening for the response, he says, "Did you enjoy the gift of life? Did you enjoy the gift of life? Do you enjoy the gift of life? Are you enjoying the gift of life? And what does the extent of your enjoyment of life reveal about the character of the God that you love and serve?" The more I learn and reflect on this spiritual practice of celebration and choosing joy, the more I recognize the importance of the practice of thankfulness and celebration. Celebrating at every possible opportunity and moment in life. You see, we have a wonderful God who delights in us and blesses us abundantly and who gives us reasons, times, opportunities to be praising him, to be celebrating, to be thankful. And today we're going to be thinking about the practice of celebrating the everyday events of life. So when I asked you the question right at the beginning, When was the last time you celebrated? What was it that came to mind? Was it a birthday, an anniversary, a new job, passing an exam, a wedding? I think that we're pretty good at marking the significant events and moments in our life. But what about the normal everyday moments, the everyday events of life? Celebrating the start of a new day. The blessing of having a home to live in, enough food to eat, family and friends around us. When was the last time you celebrated the fact that you could attend church and worship God without fear for your life? And why is it necessary or even important that we practice this rhythm of celebration? See, celebration is so much more than just a simply valid and enjoyable diversion away from our work. It's more than an excuse to eat a bit too much and drink too much. Celebration is inviting us to enter into God's joy by remembering his faithfulness and goodness. Celebrating the everyday events of life as well as the special occasions help to remind us about who God is and what he has done for us, what he has given to us, the way that he has blessed us, the way that he provides and blesses on a daily basis. Oh. In our text today, in Luke's account, we have these three parables. I'm sure that they're all really familiar to you, each of which describes the finding of a lost item, and each of which describes the joy and celebration which resulted in what was lost being found. A lost sheep, a lost coin. And the very next parable that we didn't hear read today was the lost son. In each story, when the sheep, the coin, and the son were found, the good news was shared with the friends and family, the neighbors, the people living nearby. And there was a call to rejoice and to celebrate, a call to party. Seems a bit strange, doesn't it? A woman who lost a coin. We don't know exactly what it was, but it tells us that it was equal to the equivalent of a day's wages. But then she calls her neighbors together to rejoice and to celebrate when she found it. The shepherd who lost a sheep, when he finds the lost sheep, he calls the neighbors together to celebrate that he's found the lost sheep. One wonders how much did they expend in order to celebrate the finding of those lost items. Now, understandably, the return of a lost son is a cause for much celebration. But the return of a sheep or a coin seems to be of a slightly different order. If you found a lost phone or a lost ring, would you ring up your neighbours and say, "I found it, come round and celebrate with me, let's have a party, I found my lost phone"? Well, maybe some of you would. We all rejoice in finding things that are lost. When I was, shortly after I was born, my mum had got one of those big Silver Cross prams, and she put me in the pram, and was that we lived in a small village, and she was off round the village with me in the pram. I think I'd fallen asleep, and as she went round to the village shop, she was kind of bumping into people and showing her new child that she was very, very proud of. She got round to the village shop, but it was only a small little shop, and those big Silver Cross prams are just flipping enormous. So she couldn't get the pram into the shop, so she left the pram outside of the shop, put the brakes on, and she went in to the village store to do some shopping. And while she was there, she got engrossed into a conversation. Now, those of you who know my mum will know that that's completely understandable. And she got chatting to people, did her shopping, filled up her bags, and she walked out of the shop with the two shopping bags full and walked home. And when she got home, she suddenly realised that she had forgotten something. It took her a moment or two to realise that she'd left me in the pram outside the shop. Because she was a new mother, she wasn't quite used to having to take responsibility for the pram. She dumped the bags from ran round and got the pram. Fortunately, the shopkeeper was looking after me. But I'm sure that we can all remember, recall, or tell stories of things that were lost. And when you found something, the sense of joy or relief when you found the thing that you had lost. I guess that my mum was fairly relieved when she got back to the shop to find that I was still there and was safe. In each of those stories, the shepherd, the woman, and the father, when they found that which was lost, they call their neighbours together and they rejoice and they celebrate. We all rejoice in finding things that are lost. I guess the most dramatic example in recent times was the rejoicing of the whole nation of Thailand when those 12 scouts and their coach emerged from a cave where they had been lost for 18 days. Great sums of money, many hours of time, and even the life of one diver were expended trying to recover those lost children. Great was the celebration that followed their recovery. There was a tangible sense of relief, thankfulness, joy, jubilation, and praise. I wonder how often we see that outpouring or experience that sense of joy and celebration. In this story, we see a perfect example of how celebration draws people together. Thailand was drawn together as a nation as they celebrated the rescue of those boys. Celebration is an opportunity to bring people together, to express that exuberant joy. It's almost as if that joy is too much to bear alone. It's a kind of a positive relief to be able to share it with other people, to join in. Their joy couldn't be contained when they found the sheep, the coin, and the boy. It needed to be expressed. It needed to be shared. It was an opportunity to draw people together and unite people as they celebrate together. Dallas Willard is an American theologian, and he says this: the carefree spirit of joyous festivity is absent in contemporary society. Apathy, even melancholy, dominates the times. Harvey Cox is another American theologian, says, modern man and women has been pressed so hard towards useful work and rational calculation, they have all but forgotten the joy of ecstatic celebration. Does that chime with you today? As you look around our society and our culture, so many things are seeking to divide and pull us apart. So many things seeking to pull us down, to depress us. Well, the crux of what I believe this is all really about. If we truly understand and believe the gospel, then we should be the most celebratory people on the planet. God regularly called his people to celebrate through feasts and parties and festivals because he didn't want them to forget his abundance, provision, and grace. The very celebration wasn't just a response, it was a demonstration of what God is like and what he has done. And we must enter into a regular rhythm of celebrating God's extravagant blessings on a daily basis. The impulse to celebrate as a means to remember God's provision has got ancient roots. After sparing his chosen people from imminent destruction, God specifically instructed them to commemorate, to remember, to celebrate his faithfulness through annual celebrations. Whether it's Purim, which marked the deliverance of the Israelites from Haman, Passover, celebrating the deliverance of Egypt from slavery, or Hanukkah, celebrating the rededication of the temple. The Jewish people had this pattern of feasts where they would celebrate and remind themselves the truth about who God is and what he had done. Despite his continued faithfulness, our memories tend to be really short term. We forget what God has done. We push them, those blessings to the back of our mind. We lose sight of them because of the stuff that's going on in our everyday life. We get distracted, swallowed up by the incidental and enormous challenges of life. And we forget the times when God has dropped manna into our lives or parted the waters for us. When the bank account dips below zero. When the garage bill comes in and our weekly paycheck can't quite meet the bill. The times when blood test results have come back positive. It feels perhaps more natural to shake our clenched fists at God rather than to organise a party and to celebrate. Which is why I think that celebration is so crucial to our spiritual life. The very act of celebration anchors us into a deeper story, one that precedes our current hardships or pain. God's narrative goes back to the garden when he formed us from the dust and called us into a loving relationship with each other and with him. It continued when Jesus became flesh and assumed all our sin and brokenness so that we could enjoy fellowship with God the Father. And yes, it will culminate in a celebration, the wedding feast of Christ with his bride, the church. That's why we're commanded to eat bread and drink wine in remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection. When we celebrate communion, we retell the story. We remind ourselves of who Jesus is. When we reenact that Last Supper, we're reminding ourselves that Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross, to die in our place, to pay the price for our sin and our rubbish, so that we could be forgiven and reunited with God the Father as his beloved children. Regardless of your circumstances, you can always rejoice in God's character and his provision and blessing. While happiness depends upon happenings, joy depends on Jesus. It's a decision of your will. You can choose to celebrate Christ in the midst of the most difficult circumstances in your life. This happens when you reject discontentment and instead choose praise and thanksgiving and celebration. Celebration is a reminder of who God is and what he has done for you and is continuing to do for you, the way he provides for you, the way he blesses you on a daily basis, so much of which we take for granted and expect, but they're actually blessings that Jesus pours out on us on a regular basis. Celebration is a practice that roots us and reminds us in the character of who God is and what he has done for us. Got a quote here from Dallas Willard to end with. We engage in celebration when we enjoy ourselves, our life, our world, in conjunction with our faith and in confidence in God's greatness, beauty, and goodness. We concentrate on our life and world as God's work and as God's gift to us. Are you enjoying life at the moment? If not, then why don't you organise a celebration? Why don't you remind yourself of the goodness of who God is and what he has done for you, and seek to respond to that in celebration? Shall we close in prayer? Father God, we thank you that you delight in each one of us. That you rejoice when we return to you. Thank you that when we too celebrate and party, we reflect something of your character. Pray that you would teach and show each one of us how we can celebrate who you are and what you've done in our lives. Amen.